1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians and look at verses 25 through 28. First Corinthians 15, starting verse 25, it says, "For he must resign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's a blessing again to be here tonight. It's a blessing to look back into your word tonight again as we continue on in this doctrine of sin. And tonight we are looking, Father, at why did God allow sin? Why did you allow sin? And so I pray, Father, we'll get a good idea from your word as to why all of this is going on and why people ask that question. And so we just thank you for what you're going to do. Pray that you would be lifted up and glorified. And we just thank you for this night, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, why did God allow sin? We've already observed the biblical teachings that God is nowhere pictured as the author of sin. But why did he allow it? Now, there's a lot of people that said it's God's fault that sin's in the world. That is a bold-faced lie. It is not God's fault that sin is in the world. It's man's fault that sin is in the world. And if you're saved, the Bible's very clear that we are saved from that, right? We have a way to escape every sin if we want it. We have to want it and take it. But we still have this flesh that we keep warring against. And unfortunately, the flesh wins sometimes. But God created both angels and men with a free will. This is both because of his own nature and his desire that man love him freely. So I've said many times, why would God want man to serve him or love him just because he's forced to? It wouldn't make any sense. God wants us to love him because we love him, not because we're forced to love him, but because we love him, that we truly do love him. And there's a lot of people that say that they love God, but the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? So if we're keeping his commandments, then we're showing that we do love him. If we're not keeping them, then obviously that's showing something totally different. But how God will conquer sin, and I read 1 Corinthians 15, 25 through 28. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll look at 22 through 24. Hebrews 12, verses 22 through 24. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to all the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Obviously, Jesus coming was the way to conquer sin, right? Jesus conquered sin. In fact, it says he conquered sin, death, and the grave. And so praise God for that. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we'll look at 7 through 13. Verses 7 through 13. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. One day, as I've said many times, all of this that we see is going to burn up. It's going to be gone. You know, when you think of that and you think of what went on downstairs and they have to tear everything out and rebuild and all, rebuilding all that stuff, that one day it's just going to burn up, right? It's going to be gone. But it's nice to have it while we got it, right? And then enjoy it while we have it. But it's going to all burn up one day. There's not going to be any of this stuff left. And yet people put so much faith and so much trust in things that aren't going to last, instead of in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is definitely going to be, he's from eternity past to eternity future. He is been all along. We're going to be with him for all eternity if we put our faith and trust in him. And then Revelation chapter 20, we'll look at 11 through 15. Revelation 20, starting in verse 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Obviously, that's going to be the final judgment. God's, when we're out of here, and all this stuff is done, and it's burned up, and things are taken, there will be no more sin. As I said, Jesus conquered sin, death, and the grave. And so all of that's been conquered. We can live victoriously because of that. And yet, many times we choose, as believers, to live a defeated Christian life instead of the victorious Christian life. But at Christ's triumphant return, and at his defeat of Satan at his final release after the millennium, Christ will destroy Satan, sin, death, sorrow, and suffering. I like the fact when the Bible tells us there will one day be no more tears. Be no more tears. There'll be no more of all that stuff that we go through here. I like the song we sang tonight, "Does Jesus Care?" Of course he does. You know, we go through things like, when he first mentioned that, I thought, well, this is perfect timing with everything going on downstairs. Does he care? Of course he cares. He always has cared. And he takes good care of us. You know, bad things happen, and they happen to good people even, but we'll get through it, and God will be glorified because of it. Then we move on to a practical plan for personal victory over sin. A practical plan for victory over sin. Confession. Number one, confession. Honestly and humbly admit your sin with no excuse or justification. We always want to justify our sin. There's a reason why we sinned, right? Well, of course. The reason why we sinned is because we obviously didn't love God more than we loved the sin. Because if we loved him, we'd keep his commandments and we wouldn't be sinning. But we end up with that. And so we have to remember, again, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9 tells us. And then James 4:6 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." We need to humble ourselves when we go before Almighty God. As I keep saying, as we've been going through prayer, many subjects on prayer, we have to humble ourselves and realize who he is. that He is Almighty God. He is all-knowing God. He is the creator and sustainer. He is it all. And we need to understand that and not just think of Him as someone we can take off the shelf, open the box and let Him out when we want Him, put Him back in the box and put Him back on the shelf, because that doesn't work. It does not work. So we need to humble ourselves when we come before Almighty God, realizing who He is, but we also need to realize who we are. We're just sinners saved by grace. And then number two, faith. Trust in the forgiving power of the blood of Christ. There's some people that have sinned, they've asked forgiveness for those sins, and yet they will not forgive themselves. Why are you not trusting in what God's done? If God can forgive us, then why can't we forgive ourselves? Are we trusting that His forgiveness is enough? The power of the blood of Christ is enough? Because if we don't forgive ourselves, then we're saying it's not enough. We have to be willing to accept that by faith. And then three, cleansing. Accept the cleansing of Christ. And again, 1 John 1:9, He cleanses us if we confess our sins. And then reject the spirit of condemnation. I tell you, Satan wants us to be condemned. He wants that condemnation on us, and he wants us not to forgive ourselves. In fact, he doesn't want us to forgive one another either when we've done wronged each other. He always wants that division going on, because you can divide and conquer. United people will stand together and they'll have a united front, but if you divide, you can be conquered. And we're kind of seeing that in our United States of America. We used to be the United States of America, and now it seems we might as well change our name to the Divided States of America. And then accept your second chance for a fresh start in Christ. Once you got saved, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's like a second chance. Start over. Start fresh. And then separation. Number four, separation. Remove all provisions for the flesh. You know, there's a lot of people that they get saved, but they continue going to the same places, doing the same things and all, and so they're making provision for the flesh and can't figure out why they don't have victory. Well, quit going to the places you were going to and quit doing the things you were doing, and maybe you wouldn't have that problem. And some people, they don't want to separate from friends or relatives, but sometimes you have to. Or they'll bring you down. I've heard so many people tell me over the years, if I just spend more time with them where they're at, then I'll bring them up. No, they will bring you down. You're not going to bring them up. You can't go to the tavern and sit there and drink yourself silly because that's what they're doing and expect you're going to get them out of that. No, going and being sitting there next to him and doing the same thing is just telling him that it's okay. Doesn't make sense. And I don't care. You can put drinking in there. You can put whatever you want. It doesn't matter what it is. You're not going to bring them up. They're going to bring you down. Because every time you go to where they're at and endorse what they're doing by participating, they're not seeing anything wrong in it. And by the way, they're like, well, you're a Christian and you get to do that, so if I become a Christian, then I should get to do that, right? So what do I have to give up? I don't give up anything. Well, they should give up their old ways. They should become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then flee every temptation. When we're tempted, the Bible's very clear that God always gives us a way of escape when we're tempted. So we need to flee from it. And 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart. And remove every opportunity to give in to sin. You know, I've mentioned it many times, but it's worth saying again, just say no. When you're tempted, just say no. You know, that was what we teach. Had taught to our kids about drugs, just say no. Well, the same thing applies with sin. Just say no. When you're tempted, say no. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And then, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, separate yourself from old friends who tempt you to sin. Sometimes we got to do, you know what I found is people that were supposedly my friends, when they found out I got saved and I changed my way of thinking, they didn't want to hang around with me. I didn't have to change them, they changed me. You know, they left me instead of me leaving them. So, but sometimes you have to. You have to separate from them that don't want to let you be who you are now. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Then James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's why I've said many, many times, when you get people and they side with people who are anti-God, that makes them an enemy of God. And they, I tell you, you can talk to them till you're blue in the face and they'll deny it. But the truth of the matter is, when you become a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. Because the two don't mix. And so we have to be careful of that. And then 1 Corinthians 15:33, I heard a great message on this one time. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And it's true. It's true. And then we got to have genuine repentance. Change your thinking about the sin. We have to start looking at sin as sin. Not as just a good time, or not just because it could be fun, but look at it as sin. So we reject Satan's bait, and we focus on Satan's hook. The bait looks appealing, but it's the hook that's going to bring us down. So we need to be careful with that. And we're out of time, so we'll stop there tonight.